This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
Hey, Spilled Milk listeners. This is host Molly here recording all by herself because Matthew's out of town. And what I wanted to say is that we love having great advertisers support our show. But in order to keep doing that, we need your help. And here's what we need. Please go to podsurvey.com/milk and take a quick anonymous survey that'll help us get to know you better and help our advertisers know what you're into and how great you are. So even if you think you've done this before, this new survey is different. And I really would love for you to take it and help us out. Plus, once you've completed it, you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Again, that's podsurvey.com/MILK. Thanks again for your help.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about polenta.
Yes, and we have some steaming bowls of polenta right in front of us.
Mine isn't steaming.
Oh.
Oh, I can see you're steaming, though. Maybe I just need to
stir.
Hold mine up to the window.
It's a little thick, I guess.
Oh, I like it like this.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
You know, I want it that way.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to have that stuck in my head. Oh, my God. I can't even remember. Oh, I know. I was reading the blog Awful Library Books, which is a blog by two librarians where they show books from their library and sent in by readers, like books they've weeded that are just funny in some way. Like, you know, they have a crazy 70s cover or like an unintentionally double entendre title or whatever. Or like, you know, they're just like stupidly racist or sexist,
you know,
in some way.
Wait, hold on just a minute. I was just thinking, like... Oh, sorry, my dog just, let me take off her collar.
Okay.
She's making noises.
Aren't you afraid she'll escape?
Terrified that she'll just bust through your front door.
And leave a dog-shaped outline?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what I was just thinking is, I have recently found some great books through friends' recommendations. Do you think that we could have some sort of, I mean, I know that's surprising, but do you think that we could have some sort of a, like, occasional... like recurring, like, book talk.
Okay,
on
sure.
Spilled Milk.
Do you think anyone would find that interesting or funny?
No.
Okay. maybe we should make it a bonus episode and inflict that on our subscribers who seem to let us get away with anything.
Cool. Abby, would you please note that we want to do that for a bonus episode?
Okay.
Okay. So, regrettable library books.
One of the librarians on Awful Library Books, which is a great blog, just Google Awful Library Books, recently mentioned the Eddie Murphy song Boogie in Your Butt. Do you remember this?
I have no memory of
this. Okay. Well, you are so lucky because I had not thought about it since the 80s. And, you know, it was a novelty song from the 80s.
Was it, like, during the, like, Coming to America era?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe a little earlier. Nah, probably around then. Anyway.
What was the other movie that he did around that time where there was, like, a little boy who was, like, going to be an emperor or
something? The Golden Child.
The Golden Child. Yep. Yeah.
I'm sure it was around that era. Anyway, the song went like, boogie in your butt, got the boogie in your butt. It was incredibly stupid and super catchy, and like now it's been stuck in my head for several days. So thanks a lot.
Well, I want it that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell
me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake.
Well, so this is where we are. And, you know, little known fact, trying to segue desperately here into the topic of the show. Wait, was that Backstreet Boys? Or
that was Backstreet Boys.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do I know any members of Backstreet Boys? I feel like I can name several members
Justin
of NSYNC.
Justin Timberlake, right?
No, NSYNC. Timberlake, Joey Fatone, some other guys were NSYNC. I can't name a single Backstreet Boy. I know, as usual, we have listeners who are screaming at their telephones. So, yeah, so we want it this way. Did you, let's get on memory lane quick.
Okay.
Did you eat polenta as a kid?
I remember when polenta kind of like got popular in the 90s. It was the 90s, right?
Sure.
It was around the era of like goat cheese, sun-dried tomatoes. Oh, that was 80s.
Goat cheese and sun-dried tomatoes was 80s. I think, well, when did Northern Italian food have its moment? Because I feel like there was a...
I feel like, for some reason, I'm thinking I was in middle school. Like, because my friend Jennifer had a crush on this guy named Todd.
Okay.
Shout out to Todd Blaisdell.
I'm really trying to figure out how this is going to tie into Italian food.
And Todd worked at a Northern Italian restaurant called Portobello.
Wait, how old was Todd?
Todd was 2 years older than me.
Okay.
And Jennifer was 2 years older than me. So this probably would have been when I was in eighth grade. So I was 14. This was like 1993.
So Todd was like 16 working at an Italian restaurant?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to be ageist, but I don't think I want... I mean, did they keep him in the back so he couldn't bother customers?
He was like a busser.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I feel like... Northern Italian cuisine became popular in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma,
sure,
in the early 90s. And I feel like maybe everything takes a little longer to reach the middle of the country.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, so my memories of polenta, date back to around that time. In my mind, I always associate it with like a big pile of mushrooms on top.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. And like grana or parmesan. Yeah, I think of it as always being topped with something. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if we made it at home or not. I do remember going through a period in high school. So my parents often made ratatouille.
Sure.
And I remember on nights when my parents would go out, I would often have ratatouille and like a fried egg on top of...
This was as a child?
Yeah. I mean, as a teenager.
Okay.
My parents would go out, so I would be eating dinner by myself, and my parents would have made ratatouille. It would be in the fridge, and I would like take some slices from a tube of polenta like microwave them to warm them up and put ratatouille on top of them and like a fried egg on top of
that. You know what I would have on nights like that? Hot Pockets. Or like Gino's pizza rolls.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I also, I mean, this was when I don't know. Things got pretty classy by the time I was a teenager. When I was a kid, I was having like hot dog omelets that my dad would make me before my parents went out, or Stouffer's turkey tetrazzini.
Oh, wow.
Or Tony's microwave pizza.
Sure. Absolutely. Celeste for one. that's really what I was having. Celeste for one, but I mean it figuratively.
I had Celeste for one last night. Just kidding. I mean, not really. I mean, try to figure out what I'm saying.
I don't know. You mentioned the plastic tube of polenta. Did you know that is technically, that packaging is called a chub?
No. Is it always a chub?
I don't know. Maybe not after you take the polenta out and it deflates.
No, but like I'm talking about like, so when you buy bulk pork sausage, like Jimmy Dean brand, is that also a chub?
Yep. That like sort of like big pill shape.
It's
like,
kind of a blimp.
Yeah. It's like a blimp or like a big Tylenol. and it soothes your aches in the same way.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned it, let's talk some more about that polenta chub, because I buy that sometimes.
Wait, you didn't go down memory lane.
Oh, I don't think I ever ate polenta as a child. I mean, maybe I did. I sort of knew what it was, I think, but I don't think I ever ate it.
Okay.
It seems
odd. Well, clearly I did enough eating for both of us.
I guess.
Okay, let's talk about chubs.
Let's talk
about chubs. Chub, 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 chub,
chub. That's what you chant when someone's like squeezing one of those directly into their mouth on a dare, like as a hazing ritual.
Yeah, that's what we did at all the sleepovers I had growing up.
Oh, yes. Anyway, So you would slice it and microwave it. I will still buy that sometimes and slice it and pan fry it.
I think
like,
that's
like
probably
it.
That's probably what I would do now. I think it would probably taste better.
It's really good. It gets crispy. It takes longer than I think every time. It's like at least 5 minutes per side.
You know how it's like there's something weird. There's always like a little bit of moisture.
Oh, yes, yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Inside the plastic sleeve of the chub.
Yes.
That's always a little, like, unnerving to me.
I completely agree. I know exactly what you're talking about. And the whole thing comes out kind of slippery.
Yeah, it, like it really slides out. I mean, you could really chub.
You really could. You would probably choke to death. you know what it reminds me of?
What a way to go.
Oh, yeah. death by chub. Do you remember those water weenies? This was also a big 80 thing.
We've talked about these before.
Good. How did those work? You know,
foreskin technology.
That's right. They repurposed. You know how like sometimes you'll see a commercial where they're like, we took a principle found in nature and turned it into this product.
Yes, that's what those things are. Wet willies or whatever they were called. They're just totally just a penis with foreskin.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know.
I would.
Great.
Yeah.
So I'll slice it for breakfast especially. Talking about polenta again now. Like, you know, slice it, saute it 5 minutes per side, still talking about polenta. And
then what do you do with it?
Just like eat it.
Oh, but do you like put an egg on top of it or?
I'll serve it like as a side the way you would hash browns, like with some scrambled eggs or a sausage link or something.
Cool. Okay, I like that
idea. It's really satisfyingly crispy. And
I bet
of course,
it's good. Do you ever drizzle a little bit of maple syrup on
it? Yes, I have.
Oh, that sounds good. Really good.
And you know, it's I don't know could you take the polenta out of the chub and like somehow reconstitute it into soft polenta, or is that not possible? I've never tried it.
I've never tried it either. I don't think that it's like a stated use of it. Like on the packaging.
You think it's an off-label use?
Maybe. I mean, I think that you would really have to do some serious pulverizing because I think it's just going to want to kind of break into weird shards and lumps.
But maybe if you add some water and heat it, I don't know. I probably, like many of our listeners, do this all the time. And like, what are they talking about?
Okay. Well, anyway, listeners,
I feel like you just suggested, you implied that I was not ready to do some serious pulverizing.
I think you're not ready.
I am always ready to do some serious pulverizing. I'm wearing a tank top. I'm getting jacked.
okay, cool.
I've been pounding chubs. Mm-hmm. you put on the agenda polenta is really coarse cornmeal, right? And I can't read anymore. Is there a difference between polenta and coarse cornmeal?
Yeah, because like I often buy Bob's Red Mill brand cornmeal and they sell two different products. One is coarse cornmeal. Well, they sell all different grind sizes of cornmeal. Yes. And then they also sell polenta. Is that just repackaged?
Here's what I think the difference is.
Okay.
Polenta to me indicates coarse cornmeal that has been ground and then has the non-coarse bits strained out. So it's kind of relatively evenly sized coarse bits. Whereas if you get the Bob's Red Mill coarse cornmeal, it has like a variety of sizes of bits because it's stone ground. I think the conventional wisdom, and I don't know if this is true, is that the small bits make polenta gummy.
Hmm. But makes sense.
I don't know. I haven't done a side by side test. I've never had a gummy polenta.
I feel like it's like one of those. I feel like it's like one of those urban legends. Like, you know, like don't like don't
like Bigfoot?
No, don't stir your pancake batter more than 12 times or it'll get tough. Like I remember watching Mark Bittman do a video for the New York Times in which he was sort of demonstrating his like basic pancake recipe
12 times
and he was like, do not stir it more than 12 times. It's okay to leave lumps in there, they'll work themselves out. Like, don't, you'll make tough pancakes. I have never had a tough pancake. I think that like you really would have to like beat it with an electric mixer to make pancake batter tough.
And what if those lumps don't work themselves out?
What if they don't?
I've had that where you
I'm tender in the morning. Don't present me with a lumpy pancake. Like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Like, have you ever had that? Like, I'm I'm being dead serious now, where you like stick your fork into a pancake and there's like a floury like nodule.
No, because clearly I have been stirring mine more than 12 times.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
So anyway, I think that gummy polenta is maybe like that. Like, okay, you would really have to mess up like egregiously to have it be gummy, is my hypothesis.
Is it a legend akin to the gummy bears from the Gummy Bears cartoon?
I never saw the Gummy Bears cartoon.
Oh, it was great. It had a very memorable theme song.
Have we talked before about Gem, the cartoon Gem, and how
truly outrageous?
At the end of the, you know, the opening music montage thing, there's a kiss with like rays of light, and like I always found that kiss like so like...
No,
hot.
I don't remember this at all, but I bet
Isn't
we can...
Isn't there a kiss? I swear you see like two lips meet.
No, no, I haven't seen the show.
And then rays of light.
I'm not denying this.
Okay.
I think, no, I want to watch that now. It sounds really hot. I'm sure we can find it on YouTube.
Okay.
I liked how you you didn't let me sing the Gummy Bears theme song. Oh, yeah. Probably that was just as well.
Okay, let's move right along. Hey, listeners, it's co-host Molly here, and it's just you and me today to talk about Third Love bras. That's right, Matthew is not here to giggle or blush or do any of those silly things he does when I talk about my breasts. So let's talk about them. Did you know that the average woman changes bra sizes an average of 6 times in her life? That's why finding the perfect fitting bra can make all the difference, even though it's tough. Thankfully, Third Love bras, and I can tell you this myself because I'm wearing one right now, these bras were developed using thousands of real women's measurements, and it pays off. Their bras range in size from AA to G, and they even come in half sizes. So no matter what your body's like, no matter what your boobs are like, no matter where you are, Third Love will find you, and they will fit you well. So with Third Love's Fit Finder, which you can find online, it just takes like 30 seconds to do it. You can hop on there, find out which size and style is best for your body. Then you can take advantage of this amazing offer. They stand behind their products so much that they're willing to let our listeners try a bra from their 24/7 collection for free. Just pay $2.99 for shipping. After 30 days, if you like it, keep it. If you don't like it, send it back within that 30-day window. Send it back for free, and you won't be charged a thing. So go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to get started today. That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. You've talked about when you use Chubbs.
Yep.
I haven't used Chubbs in a long time. Do you make soft polenta too? Because I must say,
did you go through some sort of Chubbs 12-step program?
This polenta you made for us today, soft polenta, yep, was really delicious.
Thank you.
Is this something you do often?
Very often. It's a frequent pick of the week in my house. Everybody loves stuff served on polenta around here, because what's not to like? And years ago, I think it was in one of the best American recipes collections back when they were doing that. Like,
was that from like Cooks Illustrated or something?
No, it was like in the same kind of series as like, you know, Best American Short Stories, Best American Comics,
yes,
Best American Travel Writing,
yes,
Best American Writing About Bigfoot. So in one of them,
that
it
was
had,
my favorite.
Yeah. Good. Best American Writing by Big. Wait, there were a couple of like jokes.
Is Bigfoot American, or do you think he ever do you think that he ever crosses the border into Canada?
I think Bigfoot is a patriotic American. I think, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he's like, claims to be a patriotic American, but he goes into Canada to get his prescription drugs.
Don't we all?
So anyway, in one of those, there was a polenta technique that I think was suggested by Paula Wolfert, in which all you do is you mix some polenta, water, butter, and salt in a saucepan. You stick it in an oven, preferably your oven, uncovered.
Uncovered,
yes,
okay.
For like about an hour. And stir it once during that time, and it comes out beautiful every time.
Question, does the water, when you're initially like putting the cornmeal in it, et cetera, is the water boiling?
Nope, the water is room temperature or cold. It's amazing.
Why isn't this recipe like famous? Because polenta is famously like time consuming
and I used to make it
annoying
that way.
To make.
I would do the, like, you know, stir it till your arm falls off in a pot on the burner. I did a double boiler method a couple times.
I do generally this double boiler Zuni cafe method where you after it's cooked, you basically let it sit for a while with a lid on it, and the grains sort of absorb even more liquid. I'd be curious to do this side by side with your Paula Wolford method.
Yeah, this is good, right?
This is really good.
Yeah, I think once you try this, you will not go back to any other method.
Can we post the recipe on our website?
No, it's secret. Yes, we can.
Okay. We'll also link to the Zuni Cafe recipe, and maybe we have some listeners who've done both.
Okay, yeah. And they can settle it for us.
Yes, because God forbid we should have to make two batches of polenta
Just get listeners to take care of everything for us, and we wouldn't even have to come in.
Oh, terrific. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm listener... I can't think of a name. The only name that came to mind was Morticia.
What?
Like Morticia from the Addams Family.
Yeah, we don't have any listeners named Morticia.
How do you know?
Maybe we do.
We have a bunch of listeners.
Is
not all of them.
Is there anybody named Morticia?
I don't think so, other than on the Addams Family. But if you're listening to the show and your name is Morticia, please get in touch immediately.
Okay. Have you ever seen, I feel like in Italy.
Bigfoot? Yes.
In Italy. Or I feel like I have heard tell of these sort of polenta dinners where there's like a big board, like a big old cutting board.
Oh, I thought you meant like
a
commission.
Soft polenta. You make like soft polenta and pour it out on the board.
Uh-huh. And then what happens?
Then everybody scoops some of it up.
With their hands? Because you're doing a scooping with hands motion.
No, I mean with a spoon. Like, listeners, could you weigh in on this? I feel like I've heard about this as like a traditional serving method, but I don't understand why you wouldn't just serve it out of a bowl.
I've heard because... that sometimes they use a really big board and then everyone just fucks on it. Have you heard this?
Wait, before or after you've eaten all the polenta?
I was thinking you just like get in the polenta and like you just like, you know, you get a mouthful here and there. I don't know.
Ew, it's so... Ew. I'm just thinking of how I'd get the polenta out of me. I think you would need to wear some sort of protection.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you always should, right?
Yeah. Okay, so what do you serve on polenta all of these frequent times that you're making it at home?
Okay, here's my most favorite thing to serve on polenta. Like, I'll serve any...
Your body.
Yes. Or that of a loved one, or just or even just a liked one. Okay, so any kind of stew or sauce, I think. That was very specific, right?
Great, thanks.
So like a ragu bolognese.
I was going to say a bolognese might be great.
And I, so when I eat it. Yes,
will
Molly, you there.
You also post your bolognese recipe. I know we've talked about this before. I have tried multiple bolognese recipes, and I am still not happy.
My favorite one that I've made was Kenji Lopez Alt's, which has it's got like tons of umami boosters.
Does it have like gelatin? No. Does it have?
It might.
It's got something. It has something weird.
Pureed chicken livers in it. It has fish sauce.
Yeah. Now I remember why I haven't made it.
It was totally worth it. It made a huge amount. Pureeing the chicken livers was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
You do it with raw chicken livers, right? Yeah, I've done it before when making pate, and my mom is for some reason totally like has a very sanguine approach to dealing with raw chicken livers. Uh-huh. She's like really good at it. I think I would just have to have my mom come over
for
a little while.
That makes sense.
Hold my hand or hold the chicken livers.
Here. Mom, welcome. Here's this handful of raw chicken livers.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we can post a link to that recipe. I've also made one from Cooks Illustrated that is much simpler, where it's like beef, pork, and veal, like meatloaf mix, they call it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing air quotes here.
My mom talks about meatloaf mix,
okay.
too.
Yeah.
Just in general, she just loves to talk about it.
Molly, I haven't seen you in days. Have you had any meatloaf mix?
No, my mom uses meatloaf mix in her meatloaf. And
where does she get it? Because I feel like it's hard to find around
so
here.
So when I was growing up, she used to buy it at Crescent Market, which was this neighborhood grocery store.
I've looked for it there. I go to Oklahoma to, and
to
even,
get meatloaf
even
mix.
There.
You know, the other day when mom wanted to make some meatloaf, we happened to be grocery shopping together. And she went to Ballard Market and she wound up buying like a pound each of pork, veal, and beef and like just freezing like half of it.
Yeah. And I figure if you're going to make a bolognese sauce, which we should do a whole bolognese sauce episode, right?
Let's
then
do.
I can make some of the chicken liver one. And I can give you some.
Please. And then I'll see if it's really worth it to me.
Right. And I'll be like your mom. If you should make a ton because it freezes well and it's kind of labor intensive to make. Anyway, so that's good on polenta.
Okay.
Okay, but here's my most favorite thing, which I still haven't gotten to.
Okay.
Have you ever had a brasato in Barolo, which I'm like, my accent is terrible, but it's like an Italian pot
cooked,
roast.
Something cooked in wine, red
yeah,
wine.
Yeah, so it is basically a beef chuck roast cooked in a whole bottle of red wine and some aromatics.
This sounds incredible. Why haven't you made this for me?
I don't know. Like, what have you done for me?
Ooh, yeah.
Lately, yes. No, just different song. Just what have you done for me in general? Yeah, okay. I don't know. Like, you should be keeping a list. Maybe a listener should be keeping
you.
A list. That, yes. and a list of things that you said, why haven't you made me that? And I said, okay, I'll make you that.
Okay. Okay, so you serve bolognese, your beef in red wine.
Yeah, so you reduce the sauce. So it's this really rich red wine braising liquid.
God, this sounds
and you
ideal.
You slice the meat, but it's like, you know, falls apart when you slice it. And now,
will you also link to that recipe?
Sure. I think it's online. It's in a Cook's Illustrated book that I have around here. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's very simple.
Okay.
When you have like a sauce on polenta, do you stir the sauce in
no.
or do you like, okay, because my daughter always stirs the sauce in, which I think is really gross.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. The one thing that I have, so a recipe that I have really enjoyed making recently is an ottolenghi recipe for what he calls sweet corn polenta. You actually don't use cornmeal at all. You use frozen or fresh corn kernels.
I'm wondering
if puree them.
Ottolenghi is a like urban legend, like Bigfoot. Everyone talks about ottolenghi, but who's actually seen him?
Anyway, so it's basically a whole different animal, but also made from corn.
Whole different animal, not a Sasquatch.
Anyway, shut up. And then you make basically this eggplant sauce that goes on it. And it's very chunky. It's more of just sort of like cooked mushy eggplant than it is a sauce.
Sounds good.
But anyway, that is delicious. I'm sure we can find a way to link to that online. But, you know, that is the only time I think that I have ever put a sauce on polenta. Most of the time when I make polenta, I make that Zuni Cafe recipe. Mm-hmm. And then I just like put like butter and Parmesan on it and just eat it while moaning.
Oh, that's great. Do you put butter and Parmesan in it also, or do you want your polenta to be as plain as possible?
No, the butter goes in it too, and I don't think Parmesan does, but I know for sure butter goes in it.
This one I served today, I put butter and a little Parmesan in the polenta.
It was great.
But I mean, it's good to have it on top too, because then you get like more of it touching your tongue, as our friend Dan Pashman would say.
Gosh, now that we talk about polenta, I'm thinking about all kinds of things, like, you know, sort of, what if you had like a kind of a wide, shallow bowl, you had some soft polenta in there, put like a sausage on top.
Mm.
Man, that would just be so good. Maybe some like braised escarole or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could do a breakfast version with sausage links on top and some drizzle of maple syrup.
Oh, this sounds great. I feel like
I should open a restaurant.
Yes, number one. I feel like you just like morphed into Lynn Norsetto Casper minus
God,
the voice.
This is my dream. This is what I've always wanted to be.
I thought your dream was just to have the voice.
That too.
Okay.
What about cheese? Do you like strictly Parmesan? How do you feel about blue cheese?
Blue cheese and polenta is great.
I've never had it, but there's something inherently kind of off-putting to me about blue cheese in things. I like eating blue cheese, but I don't want like blue cheese cream sauce on my gnocchi. You know what I mean?
Well, I have no problem with blue cheese cream sauce on my gnocchi. So in that sense, I don't know what you mean, but I don't want it stirred into my polenta. I want it like crumbled on top.
Hmm. Again, you should make this for me.
Okay. Cheddar. I put cheddar in polenta all the time, and it's great.
Oh, that makes it kind of like a grits situation.
Kind of like a grits. I mean, is there really much of a difference between polenta and grits? I don't think so.
No.
But yeah, and it's amazing like how much cheese you can put in polenta. It's like you can put in a ridiculous amount.
It's like a black hole for cheese.
It is a black hole of cheese.
Yeah. Thanks again to Third Love for sponsoring today's episode of Spilled Milk. As you know, dear listener, I love my Third Love bra, and I'm wearing it right now as I record this. Can you hear the confidence in my voice that I am gaining from my Third Love bra? Can you? I think it's because Third Love bras fit so well, probably because they were developed using thousands of real women's measurements, and they range in size from AA to G, including half cup sizes. You can also try their bras for free for 30 days, paying just $2.99 for shipping. That's any bra from the 24/7 collection. So go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to get started today.
Is there anything else we need to say about polenta?
I doubt it.
Do you think there's anybody in the world named polenta? Probably.
Probably Morticia's sister.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, you can find the recipes we've mentioned today, or at least, you know, some of them, on our website, and that's spilledmilkpodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilk, and you can tell... Oh, wait. Is it Spilled Milk? No, it's facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
Podcast,
yeah.
Yep.
Have I been saying that wrong for weeks?
And I think you're just today.
It's facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where you can tell us what happens at the end of the opening sequence for Jem.
Yeah, please. Who was in Backstreet Boys?
Exactly. I knew there was something.
And also, I don't know, maybe what you like. How about your favorite bolognese recipe?
Oh, yeah. And is Ottolenghi real?
Yeah. Great. Oh, and is Sasquatch American?
Oh, come on. Everybody knows Sasquatch is American.
Okay, fine.
You know what? Sasquatch is probably actually Ted Nugent. I mean, he's hairy. He lives in, hangs out in the backwoods.
Yeah, probably.
Grunts a lot.
I think of him being more lovable than Ted Nugent.
Pretty much, you're right.
Like a garbage can is more lovable than Ted Nugent,
Thinking of the movie. Yes, you're thinking of the movie Harry and the Hendersons,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, okay. I am. I remember going to see that as a kid.
Yeah, me too. We'll probably link to that too.
Okay.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The podcast that where at least half of us will come help you with your chicken livers. That's catchy. I'm a comedic genius.
I'm Matthew Hepster Burton.
And I'm a comedic genius. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Bye.
Okay, polenta's in the oven. Polenta's out of the oven. I'm just gonna. It's my new. It's like the hokey pokey. Polenta's in the. Well, I can't remember the tune.
You put the polenta in, you put polenta out, you put polenta in,
and
you shake it all about, and then you have to clean the oven.
Okay. I'm ready.
Great.
Here we go.
Something right
here. Hey, how do I sound?
I think good.
Boom. Shaka-laka-laka.
All right.
Wait,
peeking her right there?
Cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. When it's like 50 degrees, that's when I really don't know how to dress.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like you're like, oh, it's not as cold as it was last week when it was 34 degrees, but it's still cold.
Yeah, so I went out this morning in Bermuda shorts. And
yeah, you did.
And a tank top. And I looked fine.
God, I love it when you wear a tank top.
Mm. I don't think I've ever worn a tank top in my entire life. All right. Is that
way
weird?
Way to make a liar out of me. No, I think that's kind of a good thing for a guy.
Is it?
Let's be honest. I mean, I don't even want to see like some sort of like muscly like surfer dude really in a tank top. I don't know. It's just not my thing.
No, I want to see him out of a tank top. Okay, you want to do a show?
Long days and no drumstick make for short fuses. And this fateful Monday, my fuse was as stubby and hungry as they come.
Where are the drumstick vanilla cones?
Take it easy, Sonny.
Where are the drumstick vanilla cones, please? Yes! sweet, creamy, crunchy, crispy, decadent deliciousness.
Sir, I can ring you up.
In my preoccupation with scoring a drumstick, I had forgotten my wallet. Do you offer buy now, pay later? Another day, another drumstick.